And it's KVC Arts Now on KVCR, arts and entertainment as well as the people and places providing it. I'm David Fleming. The Rocky Horror Picture Show began as a stage production in 1973 and in 1975 became a movie starring Tim Curry, Susan Sarandon, and Barry Bostwick. It's a basic storyline of a young couple whose car breaks down in the rain. They make their way to a nearby castle and, well, from there we get a combination of plot lines from many sci-fi movies, utilizing some set pieces and props from some of the original Hammer Studios films. Although the initial reception of the movie was, well, not exactly positive, within a year it gained a cult following with people showing up dressed as the cast in the movie, serving as a, quote, shadow cast, that is, miming the lines and actions of the characters as well. Now, add to this that the audience has a very interactive role, to say the least, throwing toast, toilet paper, using squirt guns, and responding verbally to lines and actions that we see on the screen. The movie is now in its 49th year and is touring the U.S. and Canada with some of the original cast serving as host. The tour stops in Riverside October 24th with Barry Bostwick as one of the hosts for the evening. It was Bostwick and Susan Sarandon who, in the original movie, played Brad and Janet, the young couple whose car breaks down. I spoke with Barry Bostwick quite recently, and we'll get to the conversation in just a moment. First, though, setting the tone nicely among the opening scenes to the film, when Brad professes his love to Janet.
Hey, Janet.
Yes, Brad.
I've got something to say.
Uh-huh.
I really love the... skillful way you beat the other girls to the bride's bouquet.
Was deep, but I swam it.
Janet.
The future is ours, so let's plan it.
Janet.
So please, don't tell me to can it.
Janet.
I've one thing to say, and that's damn it. Janet, I love you. The road was long, but I ran it.
Janet.
There's a fire in my heart, and you fan it.
Janet.
If there's one fool for you, then I am it.
Janet.
I've one thing to say, and that's damn it. Janet, I love you.
Janet, one of the opening tunes from the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and a nice way to welcome Barry Bostwick, who, along with Susan Sarandon, gave us that song in the original movie. The movie, celebrating its 49th anniversary, is touring with a stop in Riverside October 24th. Now, Barry, how long has this tour been in the works for you? I mean, contacting you, can you do it? No, how about next year? That kind of thing.
49 years. I just thought of this the other day. I thought, you know, 49 years ago, I was invited to this party called the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and I've never left. I've been involved with it from the day I got off the plane in London and loved every minute of it. And to organize these tour things, the producer, Scott Stander, this year he's got Nell and Patricia out on other venues. We're covering, wow, I want to say 35, 40 cities in October, both in here and Canada. And it takes a lot of coordination. I think I'm doing 25 city one-nighters. You know, you wake up and you're moving again. You know, it's a wonderful month for me of October because I get to meet these shadow casts that are all over the country and the world who are so dedicated and so lovely and so involved in keeping the Rocky Horror Picture Show sentiments alive in the world. And they are so enthusiastic to see whether it's Nell or Pat or me or Susan or Tim at a convention. And they feel in some way that they've entered Oz, you know, as Wizard of Oz, you know, and we try genuinely to make them feel comfortable and to make them feel like they are the stars of the evening.
In a way, they are the stars. Quoting you, you said at some point that the Rocky Horror, as a film, or when you go to see it, there's an alternate script that evening that's more important than the script on the screen, and that is what the audience does with this. And so you mentioned something about the shadow cast, and I really wanted to know about how this was going to be presented, because there are versions of this where it's completely a stage show. There's also the film or the shadow cast kind of thing where the film is in the background and we've got the cast in front either miming or performing along with. How is this one? A little bit of both?
No, it's exactly like the last part. We come out. Larry Wiesel, who's head of the fan club worldwide, he and I, in this instance, he comes out. And we do a costume contest, we do the virgin ceremonies, we do, you know, rules for the evening. And then I come out and talk to the audience for a while, and then Larry and I do questions and answers. He gets questions off the internet, and then he tries to embarrass me in front of 1,000 people on a nightly basis. And then the movie starts, and the shadow cast starts, and they mime the movie, and the audience starts their participation. You know, the shadow cast sell prop bags there. And so if you don't, I haven't assembled all of your toilet paper and squirt guns and everything for $5 or $10 or whatever it is.
Oh, cool.
Minimally, you can get your props, and sometimes they even instruct you how to involve yourself verbally. But if this is the first time you've seen the Rocky Horror Picture Show, you ain't going to hear it. You're not going to see it. I mean, you'll see it, but through the veil of thrown Scott's toilet paper and all the props and stuff. And I suggest that if this is your first time seeing it as a virgin, we consider a virgin somebody who hasn't seen it with a shadow cast, but maybe has seen it in their living room. But that doesn't count here.
No way.
In,
no,
in
no.
our world, that doesn't count. You know.
No.
But if you want to just see the movie, you better do it at home so you can hear all the lines and see everything and not be distracted by the nutsiness that goes on in the theater, because it's basically, it's just a big crazy party that we throw for the evening.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's an incredible experience. And yes, it does not count. Just watching the film or catching a YouTube clip or something like that. Not at all.
Yeah.
Without the toast or the yelling or, you know, whatever. At one point, the Rocky Horror Picture Show was a stage production. So we know what Rocky Horror became, this interactive, to say the least, experience, the squirt guns, the yelling at the screens, throwing toast. But what was it when you auditioned for the film? The stage show had been out for maybe a couple of years. Was it already a huge cult thing already, this silly story which pays an homage to Hammer films and whatnot?
Yes, it was a huge hit in London. And in Los Angeles, Tim Curry did it out there, and that's when I first saw it in L.A. And then they basically handed me the part because I had some musical experience. I had done Grease on Broadway. I had created the part of Danny Zuko in Grease. And it was just right in my wheelhouse in terms of self-deprecating, you know, making sort of fun of these characters, these slightly over-the-top characters. And Susan and I just met them at the same time. And I think they asked her to sing Happy Birthday or something, and they gave us the parts. Meatloaf and us, we're the only Americans in it. And it worked out great because we are from another land. And we end up in a strange land, which is Frankenfurter's world. And in a way, Susan and I were from another land. And I think a lot of the cast members who had done it on stage for a year or so, they thought I was Brad Majors, you know, this sort of stiff kind of a guy. And only years later did Nell or Pat go, oh, you weren't really Brad Majors. You were somebody else. You were actually a real guy. Because when we got there, we got off the plane, went into rehearsals, went into pre-recording, and then just started filming. So we didn't really get to know each other, any of them. So it was them against us, which probably made the film even more interesting because we were just sort of in awe of everybody there and all the talent that was behind the camera and in front of it.
Oh, incredibly so. I mean, it's a fun, fun film. And then part of it, it's also, I don't know how to say this. I don't say this in a bad way, but it's one of those storylines that's so bad, it's great. It's that kind of a thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, I'm a sci-fi geek anyway, and so I have a lot of the willing suspension of disbelief kind of thing. So that goes with me quite a lot.
Isn't that true? I mean, but all of those sci-fi movies were bad. I mean, the B-movies, so many of them were the B-movies of the era.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You know, we were just making fun of the B-movies of the era by making another B-movie. You know,
oh, exactly.
Trying not to do it so self-consciously and make fun of them as a genre, but it's just sort of paralleling it with new themes.
Yes. I was writing out this question that was actually, it started off with me saying, man, you auditioned for this on purpose. You knew the story. You saw the script. Come on, Barry. But then it hit me that as I was writing that out, that any sci-fi hit movie, if it had not hit big, it would have been just stuck as some unbelievable, silly story. Okay, so for folks who haven't experienced going to this as a movie in the theater, the parts that involve you, your original character, Brad Majors, appearing on the screen, people yelling, asshole, or even later, and I really appreciate the full circle humor here. They show Janet's room, the crowd yells, pink is for girls. And they show your room, the crowd yells, blue is for assholes. There's clearly a bleeping point in my own interview. So tell me about the first time you heard of or even experienced going to the Rocky Horror in the theater after it became what it became, people yelling and using those props.
You know, I was a New York actor back in the 60s, and we used to have things called happenings, you know, where there would be plays and things that would take part in lofts and storefronts and this and that.
Cool.
And they always involved the audience in some way. They were, you know, almost art happenings. And in a way, I wasn't shocked by this. It just brought back wonderful memories of when an audience could get off their butts and actually do something or be something other than just an observer, a passive observer. So when I first saw it, I think I saw it at the Tiffany Theater in L.A., the cast knew I was going to be there. And they brought me up on stage, and they presented me with a gold album because the record had just gone gold.
Oh, cool.
And I had known that they were going to give me something. I didn't know what it was. So I framed a pair of my underwear and signed it to the cast. And just everything involved in Rocky Horror just makes me happy. And so consequently, somebody reminded me from that cast years later that I had given them this signed underwear. I started selling underwear at conventions, at a few conventions I did, and it was a big hit. I would get Fruit of the Loom underwear from Target, you know, for nothing, and I would sign it, you know, damn it, Janet, or something, whatever they wanted me to sign it, and then I would put my name in Brad. And I think I was the only actor, and still am, the only actor who could probably sell his underwear without being too creepy, you know, because I was in my underwear wet for most of the movie.
That's right.
You can go to my website now, BarryBostwick.com, and buy my underwear. And I think that just makes me laugh.
I'm having a hard time getting it. This is probably going to be the piece that I pulled to put on Morning Edition or All Things Considered. But yes, Barry's tidy whities are really, that's your major wardrobe throughout a lot of the movie. Oh my God, yeah. Wow. Well, I was both afraid of and looking forward to a story of you maybe not knowing what would be happening during the movie, and then bam, just either embracing it or kind of hiding out in the garage with some Spam and survival crackers or something like that. Oh, my God.
No, I'm 100% behind this, and I don't know if I've said this to you, but, you know, I always think that 49 years ago I was invited to a party called the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and I've never left and never wanted to leave, and I hope I'm still involved with it, and people are still yelling at to me for another 49 years.
I'm David Fleming in conversation with Barry Bostwick, who played Brad Majors in the original film version of the Rocky Horror Picture Show and serves as one of the hosts for the evening when the 49th anniversary tour of the film comes to Riverside on the 24th. We had just been talking about the fact that when his character shows up on the screen, the audience tends to yell out, "Asshole!" And, well, I have to admit, I wondered if this followed Bostwick into his personal life because of his on-screen role. Okay, you know, there's parts where soap opera actors, you know, the bad guys, they sometimes actually get slapped on the street because folks just can't separate them. People ever come, I mean, not that they're thinking that it's real, but jokingly, in an embracing way, do people ever see you and yell at Beyond the Family?
Beyond the Family. Oh, yeah, I mean, I'll walk into a restaurant or something and somebody behind the counter will go, "Hey, I'll go, "Hey, yeah, what's the special today?
Is it meatloaf for dinner?"
Yeah, it's a meatloaf. Yeah, give me a nice slice of meatloaf. Yeah, it is a term of love and endearment, I think, and I have embraced it and will continue to embrace it.
Without a doubt. This is one that, I don't know if you know of Mystery Science Theater 3000 or not, but this is a movie that just would have been ripe for them. But we have the audience taking over the role of Joel or Mike and the robots. You know, a couple of side notes. In the film, when we're ramping up to Tim Curry's Sweet Transvestite, you have a line, and I'll be embarrassed among so many of my theater geek friends to misquote it, but you have a line about some sort of a cultural folk dance.
Oh, yeah, it's cultural folk dance, yeah. Oh, and I speak up at the end of the time warp, and I go, "Hey, does anybody know how to Madison?"
That's it.
And they look at me like they've never heard what a Madison is. Well, they hadn't. They were all aliens, you know. They had their own way of being, their own way of dancing, you know. And all of a sudden, this geeky guy comes in and, "You know the Madison?" and I didn't even know the Madison, so
I never even thought of trying to find any, because I was actually a theater major, and that's what my bachelor's ended up being in, but I never thought about looking for deeper layers on this, but you actually just introduced one. They actually are aliens. They didn't know the dance. I never thought of.
Oh, yeah, no, and it's really apparent in the dinner scene. I mean, if you really look at it and you see that they had never thrown a dinner party ever, and everything was mismatched. You know, we were, I forget, maybe drinking out of, you know, urinals or whatever.
Yeah.
They were just throwing things down on the table because as if they had seen, well, this is how you throw a dinner party, but they didn't have a clue about utensils or etiquette or anything. And throughout the whole movie, it's like that. If you really look at it and you see, well, it's not quite in sync with what happens in the real world. It's because they don't know what this world is. You know, they're invaders.
Wow. I'm going to have to watch this again in my living room from an academic lens. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd do that with Rocky Horror Picture. Oh, my God. This goes back, you know, just shy of 50 years, but do you remember any moments like this where you guys just could not go through without cracking up, losing it? You know, you or Tim or Susan, anybody.
You know what? I actually don't. I think we made this thing so quick, and I was wet and freezing the whole time.
Good point.
We didn't have the greatest time actually making it, but we were having a great time celebrating it all these years. You know, it wasn't like a sitcom, you know, where you've been doing it for 3 years and you have these little things that you can relax into and you have things that you relate to as a group. We really didn't have anything to relate to with them because we were outsiders. And I think that Jim Sharman, the director, didn't encourage a lot of ad-libbing or messing around because he knew he was on a very tight budget, on a very tight time schedule. And, you know, when you're making a movie as complicated as this for as little money as it was, you know, there wasn't a lot of time to make jokes. You know,
okay.
But maybe if you talk to somebody else, they'll probably say, oh, yeah, there was the time that.
Gotcha. But sure.
People ask you all the time, well, what were some things that you did with everybody, you know, practical jokes and this and that? I never remember practical jokes because I'm not a practical joker. So I'm a lot more like Brad Majors than you probably even could think of. Can imagine.
Wow. Well, let me see. To sort of wrap here, a couple of things. You've had just really, 20 minutes seems like a handicap for me. I could talk with you for an hour. You've had a very storied career, but we focused solely on this aspect of it. So rather than branch out to other roles like, say, Ace Hunter, Megaforce.
Ah, big one. Big
oh, my
one.
God,
Hunter,
yes.
You know, we're making a documentary on it that'll come out this year. It's called Making Megaforce. We describe it as the documentary nobody was asking for. But it's really good. We've been working on it for 3 years. Everybody who is still alive was interviewed, but it's about more than that. It's again, it's about fandom. It's about this one fellow who's directed it and came up with the concept. It was about how that movie affected him at the age of 12. Good guys, bad guys, and how it related to what was going on in his life and how he wanted to meet his hero, and he finally did, and that was me. And then we go on from there. So Megaforce, yes. Megaforce is one of those movies that has become a sort of cult. More and more people are talking about it, and I think they will once the documentary is out in the world.
Well, that is really cool, and that was a little bit of a side note. I had Robert Bridegroom questions and Fantastic Planet questions, but we will skip all this. Have you ever been at some sort of a sci-fi con or that type of thing where you've actually been, say, in the Megaforce booth signing black and whites and then jumping over to the Rocky Horror original cast Q&A? Dual roles like that at conventions with the various roles that you've had over the years?
No, mostly the conventions are Rocky Horror, and then we sort of sneak in some Spin City. A lot of people will come up and remember me from when I played George Washington in a big miniseries, and so we'll talk about that. And I
Way cool.
and I always say to them, "You're the smart ones, aren't you?"
You know,
because I've done so many different things of different genres, you have to sort of at a convention stick with the one thing that people really know you from because they're 49 years into it. And the Rocky Horror Picture Show is one of these movies that sort of skirts different descriptions. I mean, I can go to a horror convention because they believe that it's a horror movie. You know, in some ways it is.
Yeah.
I can go to a fan-based convention because, again, it's a Rocky Horror, but there's other things that I've done. But as long as they keep asking us to do it, and everybody I know who's involved with this movie are 100% behind it. Susan's doing conventions now, and Tim is doing conventions when he can. His health is so poor.
Oh.
When Meatloaf was with us, Meatloaf would do conventions. And we just did a convention in London a couple of months ago with Peter Hinwood, who played the original Rocky.
Yeah, wow.
It's the first time he'd ever done a convention.
Oh, my gosh.
It was Peter, it was Susan, myself, Nell, and Patricia. Unfortunately, Tim wasn't well enough to fly. Yeah. We are all fans of this movie, as are the fans of the movie. We're proud to have been part of this movement and continue to be.
Barry, I couldn't wrap it any better than that. So, I mean, that's just beautiful. That's a great way to leave this. On a personal level, I appreciate your time greatly. And again, I could have gone so much over so many aspects of your career, bouncing between CSI and Spin City. And, you know, just all these 172 roles or a one-time appearance. I've appreciated watching you over the years and had a great time with it. Even the, I've always referred to it as Mad Max in Gold Lame Megaforce. Yeah.
Well, thank you for knowing so much about my little career and, you know, for sharing it with me and your listeners.
Without a doubt.
I hope you do this again.
I hope to as well, and I look forward to it. I've been speaking with Barry Bostwick for this edition of KVC Arts, and with the many, many roles he's had in his career, it was pretty much 99% Rocky Horror for this conversation. Again, Barry Bostwick, the original Brad Majors from the film version of the Rocky Horror Picture Show, will be one of the hosts for the evening as the Rocky Horror 49th Anniversary Tour stops in Riverside October 24th. More at foxriverside.com. That we wrap up another edition of KVC Arts. Thanks again to Barry Bostwick, and here at KVCR, thanks to Rick Dulock, Sandy Hodela, Zach Mays, and Shireen Awad. Music beds and themes heard on KVC Arts. Behind us now, for example, composed and performed by Sean Longstreet, so thanks to Sean as well. Many past KVC Arts can be found through iTunes, NPR One, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, and most past shows are at kvcrnews.org/arts. Be sure to check out the events calendar at our homepage, kvcrnews.org, or you can go directly to the calendar at kvcrnews.org/calendar. I'm David Fleming, with thanks especially to you for listening and for your support.